Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa Al-Bahadili and you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program we discuss problems, issues and other relevant questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. As usual, all of the answers provided in this program are mostly based upon the holy book of the Quran and upon the narrations of the Prophet and naturally of the household of the Prophet, peace be upon them all. Joining us in the studio is our dear friend and Islamic researcher Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi from the Islamic Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, I welcome you and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sayyid. Today, we'll be continuing our discussion on how to raise teenagers in an Islamic fashion. We said last time that we should know when we want to teach them something, educate them, or maybe even discipline them, that we should do so in a spontaneous manner. It should not be too overly scripted so as to bore them, but should be done in a natural and conversational manner. In addition to that, we also said that when speaking to them, we should employ pathos and logos, both emotion and logic. Because only through a mix of both can we actually reach and get our point across to our teenage children. Dear Sayyid, please continue the discussion.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan al-la'in ar-rajim, bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammadin wa ajjal farajuh. Because we said it is a sensitive time for children crossing into teenage years. So as parents, the way we approach our kids, the way we speak to our kids, the way that we deal with our kids obviously has to change as well.
Right.
As far as they're going through a phase of change, they themselves, me and you, we have to go through that phase with them as well.
Right.
One of the things that most parents don't seem to do is to educate their kids about that period itself, being an adult or hitting puberty.
Right.
Where the child, as he turns into a mature, Islamically mature, reaches the age of maturity, he can see changes in his body, he can see changes in his behavior, he can see changes in his mentality, in his emotions towards things around him.
Right.
And 99% of the times, he has no idea what's happening. Right? So he's just an explorer.
And his parents, trying to blend in, I might add.
Well, not blend in, but he's trying to pretty much find out what's going on, where am I? He's like Indiana Jones in the middle of a pyramid.
So I don't know, I was just confused a lot. I was trying to go with the flow.
Yeah, so he's in a maze, right? And a lot of parents, sadly, they don't explain that period to their kids. Obviously, I don't know, either out of fear, out of embarrassment, out of ignorance. I don't know. Out of neglect, like you said. I mean, neglect is ignorance.
Because they're grown up, they're adults now. They should know a lot of things suddenly.
Yeah, so in a way or another, it is quite sad to see that happen. So first and foremost, we need to educate them about this period.
And with that, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringings, where we are discussing how to raise our teenagers in an Islamic fashion. Dear Sayyid, please enlighten us further.
We are at the stage where we said we need to explain to our kids the period they are in. And in this period that the kids go in, especially through puberty, they need to understand their halal and their haram.
Of course.
Which is also a sensitive issue. Most kids go through a lot of emotional problems and emotional issues or things they bury inside, and they don't expect the parents to understand.
Of course.
Okay? And they have needs that needs to be explained to them as well. They need to be put in the direction.
Right.
Amongst of which their sexuality, which goes haywire at this age.
It's absolutely a monster. You cannot even tame it. Some say you can tame it, but...
So Islam, obviously Islam has a solution for it.
Right, yeah.
But the idea is that the parents need to put the child in the right mindset. Most people, for example, who grow old without being married or not wanting to get married is because at this age, they were not taught the proper ideology and the proper
the way to approach this matter as well.
Yeah, so what they learn is they learn what they see on TV, what they see on the media. That,
from the culture they live in.
Just have a girlfriend, for example, or a boyfriend, and that's it. Why get married?
It's very normal to have this thought. Very, very normal. Yeah, it's very prevalent among teenagers.
Exactly. So unless we sit them down, we explain to them how this period works and how to navigate it and how to get through it and how to manage it and give them that guidance ourselves, it will be, you know, a problem because they will be rebellious, they would be constantly arguing, they would never do what you want them to do, and, you know, they will be, you know, wasting time most of the time and they have nothing else to do. So I've heard so many complaints from parents about their kids. And I want to ask them the basic questions about whether they have any sort of interaction or they explain things to them. They're like, no, we haven't. And then they're like, okay, then you should come and talk to them. I'm like, no, I can help from here and there.
I can guide.
But ultimately, it's your job as a parent to explain this to your kids because, you know, he takes you as an authority, not me.
Right, yeah.
So, for example, if I have to talk to him about marriage, I mean, at the end of the day, I might convince him that marriage for him at a younger age is an excellent thing for him to do, which I always do with teenagers. I convince them that marriage is the best thing, and they're like, that's exactly what I was thinking. But it's like, but say it, my parents would never agree.
And that's the problem.
So they constantly, so the parent needs to come themselves.
They need to educate themselves firstly.
Yeah, and, you know, say to their kids, okay, this is what you're going through. This is the halal way. This is the haram way. This is what has to be done, and so on and so forth.
Right.
Otherwise, we're going to have
because this is a problem. A very, I might say toxic, but at least it is a very sensitive subject. And it is often not spoken about in our communities at all.
Well, I mean, it's not toxic.
Well, not toxic in that manner, but it can spiral in a,
Now, look, there are matters in life where we need to face head to head.
Right.
But it's the approach that makes a difference.
Right.
Okay, so some people approach it differently, like in the wrong manner, and some people approach it correctly. So
it's a volatile subject. There we have it. That's the word.
Yeah, so you need to obviously approach it correctly.
Right, right. And with that said, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
Ya muqiya al-khayrat, ya muqiya al-khayrat.
Regarding the sixth verse of Surah At-Tahrim, the 66th Surah of the Holy Quran, that is, O you who have faith, save yourselves and your families from a fire. Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam said, save your families from fire by enjoining them to do good and forbidding them from evil deeds.
Ya Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are talking about how to raise our teenagers in an Islamic manner. Dear Sayyid, please enlighten us even further.
Now we also have to keep in mind that when we are dealing with teenagers, that we need to teach them not only about the period they're in, but also prepare them for it. They have to be prepared for what's to come and explain, like I said, things to them. So we need to teach them to think and contemplate and think of consequences. Because at this age, they haven't had a prior experience in life.
So this is a general rule, not just about Islamic laws?
No, so just general rule. I mean, all these general rules that we have, obviously, is derived from Islam. So, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا حَمَمْتَ بِأَمْرٍ فَتَدَبَّرْ عَقِبَتَهُ.
If
إِنْ كَانَ خَيْرًا فَأَقْدِمْ.
If it was good, do it.
If not, don't. Right. So there is, you know, so this is all Islamic teachings, basically, but we're just putting it in simple words. So we need to teach the kid to think and contemplate before he does any action or before they act, okay? Because at this stage, like I said, they themselves do not have prior experience.
Right. No life experience.
So they have no experience at all. They don't know what to do when certain things happen.
Of course.
And now it's me, it's my job, a new job to teach them.
Right.
Make them think for themselves. Right. Make them more, you know, they use their insight and use their intellect and be able to contemplate on things themselves.
It's basically a rule of life.
Yeah, so it's not, even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, when you see in the Quran, when he constantly talks about the stories of other nations or the Aqwam before us.
Right.
Well, obviously, he's not trying to entertain me and you with this story.
No.
I mean, some of them
not
are
just
quite
a story time.
Yes, some of them are quite entertaining in their nature, but the idea was that Allah's trying to teach you something that you should learn
contemplate.
From the people who were before you, what they did and the consequences.
Reflect upon their actions. Right.
And you should not do the same at all.
Right.
Same thing with our kids. So you sit them down. I've seen this happen many times with parents. They bore their kids to death.
Like, right.
When I was your age, I had this and I done this. When I was your age.
To be fair, some stories can be very interesting. But
No, the story is one thing, but if you're using it as a method of trying to teach your child, just by reflecting on your past and that's it, I mean, I've heard many times the kids, oh, we've heard this so many times. My dad always say this. He always says, when I was young, I did this. Me, myself, I heard this from my dad all the time. When I was at this age, I used to read this bunch book, and they used to because you had no TV.
Right.
You had nothing else to do.
It was always,
So that's not the way to get them to think and contemplate and think of their consequences. So we have to train them, basically, into the correct, right method of thinking, the correct and right method of having an insight into things, and the correct method of trying to contemplate on matters. For example, sometimes when I talk to kids, I throw in a line or two, and I leave it unanswerable, and they're like, okay, so I'm like, what do you think?
Right.
So he automatically starts to...
So you engage the thinking.
Yeah. Right. So he has to do the thinking for himself. So, this is what we need to do as well.
Right, and with that, we will unfortunately have to end today's program. I thank you for your insightful knowledge. I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. If our dear listeners have any comments or questions, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir. Alternatively, you can also visit our website, parstoday.com. In addition to that, we also have social media accounts on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Fi amanillah.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.